Dalet Tavis, 22nd of December, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, challenges.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Parshas Vayigash. There's a lot to be discussed here.
For those of us
following the last few weeks in anticipated suspense following the storyline, we're actually finally reaching the climax.
We don't know what happened, so let's wait.
It all began a few weeks ago. Yaakov Avinu had many children, and they didn't get on. Yosef, the rest of the children, there was jealousy. And to cut a long story short, the brothers, obviously, after discussing and deciding that al Torah, Yosef was mechuyev to die, they decided to sell him, to kill him. They changed their mind. Yosef went down to slavery. Yaakov says he's going to go avol sha'ilah. He's going to go down with nothing. Yosef is a servant. He's having it very, very difficult. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after him. Yosef goes through prison. He goes through terrible, terrible ordeals, terrible challenges. But each one he overcomes in its own time. And finally, last week, Parshas Miketz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the time's come. It's time for you to come out of prison. Yosef emerges. He answers Pari's dreams. Pari makes him the ruler. From 1 second, from the bottom to the top, it was amazing to see how the Yad Hashem, at the right time, the right moment, you're out. There's nothing to talk about. Yosef comes out, he's the ruler. Doesn't take long, there's a massive famine going on. Obviously preordained. The brothers have to come all the way down to Mitzrayim. And Yosef recognizes him. Doesn't tell them a word to who he is, doesn't say anything. He comes in, he behaves to them like a stranger. And we all know the whole story. So Yosef accuses them of spying. He sends them back. They have to bring Binyamin. His father, Yaakovina, refuses to. They wait for a few months until they've run out of food. And their father asks them again, please go back again. And he says, no. In the end, they come down with Binyamin. They meet Yosef. Everyone's happy. They greet each other. And that's it. They're left. They're going. It's all over. They're on the way home. And Yosef sends soldiers after them. I'm sorry. Come back. You've stolen something. They come back. And Yosef says, Binyamin's going to have to stay in captivity. And the brothers are pleading. They're crying. And now we've come to Parshas Vayigash, where Yehuda realizes he's got no choice. He steps forward. And the Torah tells us he steps forward for three things. He steps forward to speak to Yosef, the power of persuasion. He steps forward to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he steps forward ready to fight. And Yehuda turns around to Yosef and he begins with persuasion. He actually doesn't. The Medrash says that he began showing off his might. And he began doing tremendous, tremendous things with physical power, with his powers. And Yosef called his two children in and he showed Yehuda that he's also got powers. It's not so easy. So Yehuda changed his tactic and he began speaking. He began speaking and crying. And he began pleading to Yosef. He said, please, you're talking. And he went through the whole story again. He said, my father's going to hear this. He's going to die. I've taken full responsibility. I beg you. If you need a servant, I'll be the servant. And the Medrash says there wasn't only Yehuda pleading his case. The Medrash says that at the same time, all the various ministers from around the world who had been watching this scenario unfold in front of them also started begging and pleading with Yosef to let Binyamin go. They didn't understand what was going on. There was such a hard, cold-heartedness going on here. And they said, Yosef, come on, please. Everyone was crying. And Yosef, the Torah tells us, it came to a point where he couldn't withhold himself any longer. And before he revealed himself, he didn't want to embarrass his brothers. Says the Torah, he sent everyone out of the room. And he revealed himself. And on these words, the famous words, Ani Yosef, Oida Bichai, the Medrash says, the most famous words that none of us can ever forget, Oilonim Yom Adin, Oilonim Yom Atoichecha. Very, very special words, very powerful words, and words which are constantly in our mind. That's not what we're going to discuss here today. I want to discuss the next words. So Yosef has revealed himself to his brother. He said who he is. He said he's given everything away now. And his brothers, when they hear it, they step back in shock. In shock and fear, they couldn't believe it. He's going to do revenge. What's he going to do to us? And Yosef wants to show them, no, relax. I love you like a brother. I have no sinner, no hatred towards you at all. I'm not out for revenge. I'm with you all the way. Gushu no ilai, come back. And he tries showing them some brotherly warmth. Fair. But then he carries on. He says, come, Gushu no ilai, come back. Ani Yosef. Asher Macharta Moisi Mitzrayim, that you sold to Mitzrayim. What's Yosef doing? He's spoiling his whole thing. You're trying to bring them back. You're trying to persuade them that you love them. So why are you mentioning Mitzrayim again? You already told them. They already chap that you're Yosef. They know you're Yosef. And they know they sold you. They're not stupid. They know what they've done wrong. So if you're trying to persuade them to come back, why are you saying again, Asher Macharatem Oisi, I'm Yosef. You know who I am. I'm the one you sold to Egypt, the one you sold to slavery, the one you tried killing. I'm that one. Why are you rubbing it in? I thought you're trying to persuade them to come back. What are these words, Asher Macharatem Oisi Mitzrayim? That's question number one. Question number two. Going a few weeks back, I'm coming to the story of Rivka Imenu. Rivka Imenu was barren, and she was desperate, like her husband Yitzchak, to have children to build up Klal Yisrael. And they're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayeta Yitzchak LaHashem L'Noichach Ishtoi, both of them are pleading their case. And finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears Rivka Imenu's, Yitzchak Avinu's cries, and Rivka becomes pregnant. And the Torah relates that a very interesting thing, that when she was pregnant with a child, every time she walked past the yeshiva, or Beis HaMedrash, so she felt a sudden pulling, like someone wanted to go out. And when she passed the Makom Tumah, she felt a different way, someone else wanted to go out. And she didn't know what was going on. And the Medrash tells us she went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. Shem Ve'eva, then she's going to hear a prophecy, and she'll understand what's going on. And the question is, they bring down from the Belz Rebbe, the original Baron of Belz. He says, I don't understand. Rivka Imenu was a twin, the Medrash tells us. Her father, Yitzchak, was also a twin. So there's twins in the family. Is it so difficult to understand that maybe there's twins inside you? It's not so hard to understand. One of them's good, one of them's not good. When you go past Beis HaMedrash, the twin who's a tzaddik wants to go out, you go, oh, but sorry, the other one wants to go out. What's the big thing that you have to go to ask for a prophetic insight as to what's going on? It's not so hard, you're twins. So you've got twins inside you. What's the big thing here? It's question number two. One more question, question number three. The Medrash tells us again, Sefer Yosha, that when Yosef was sold to the Yishmaelim on his way down to Mitzrayim, the Medrash shares that he managed to run away from them. And he ran until the kever of his mother, Rachel Imenu. He runs there, says the Sefer Yosha, and he cries away at kever. He says, Mummy, please save me, daven to Hashem that I should get out of this. And the Sefer Yosha says that Rachel Imenu said, don't worry, just carry on, there's nothing I can do. Just carry on, Yosef. And he will ask the question, I don't understand, this is Mama Rochel. The Rochel Imenu that was buried on the roadside specially, that when Klal Yisrael are taken down into Golos, they're going to pass the cave that they can daven to her and she'll go to HaKadosh Baruch on our behalf. We're talking about Rochel Imenu who defends Klal Yisrael constantly. And when it comes to her own child, Yosef, that's the best she can tell him. Just me one, I can't help you. Yosef is mother. What's going on here? That's the three questions I want to discuss today. Three questions. So question number one we said was, Asher Macharat Moisi, why is Yosef rubbing it in? Why is he rubbing it in and saying, I'm the one you sold? Question number two, why did Rivka feel she has to go for to hear a prophecy? What's going on? Is it so hard to work out? And question number three, why couldn't Rachel Imenu help her own son? So I want to discuss today an Indian of Nisyonis, a challenge, or deal, a test. Nisyonis is a massive parsha, a difficult parsha with many different facets to it. But I want to discuss one aspect. So it's one introduction. There's a Machlekes Rambam and Ramban as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a challenge. What is a challenge all about? The Rambam in Mori Nevuchim speaks out that the purpose of a challenge is in order that other people in the world can see, learn, and gain. They can see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to greet a challenge, how HaKadosh Baruch wants them to overcome a challenge, and to learn from it how to act in these particular situations. That's what the Rambam writes. The Ramban writes differently. The Ramban writes that the purpose of a challenge is lahoitzi min hakoyach el hapoyol. Many, many people, many of us, have abilities within us, but they're dormant, they're lying there and they're dead, we don't use them. It's a hakoyach. If we would be in this, then we'd manage to do this. If we would be in this situation, we'd do this. But we've never used this. We have the strength within us. We have the talents within us, but we haven't used it yet. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though you already possess the ability to do it, that's not enough. Because if you want it to become a part of the real you, a part of your identity, a part of you that it's going to go as a Yerusha, as an inheritance to your descendants, then you have to bring it, to reality. Bring it down to the world. And that's what the Ramban says. The whole Indian of an Nisayon, says the Ramban, is to bring it out into reality. I saw brought down, actually, there's two different midrashim, which gives a different moshul as to what Nisayin is. There's one medrash that says that the Yotzer, the creator who creates barrels, he goes to his wood, he goes to his barrels, and he checks them. The one which he sees are weak and brittle, he just chucks them. The one which he feels has got potential and they can be used again, he bangs them again and again to make sure that they're strong. And that says the medrash is the inyan of a Nisayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go to the Rishon, we're just going to, as soon as something difficult comes, they're going to give up. He goes to the Sadiqim, who he feels have got the power within them, and he bangs on them again and again. That's one Medrash. There's another Medrash that tells us that when a person has pishtoni, has flax, so the one that he sees looks very healthy, he'll take it and he'll bang it again and again and again. Because the more he bangs it, says the Medrash, the better it will be. It'll grow, it'll come out fatter, it'll be stronger, it'll be much better. Whereas the flax that he sees looks brittle, doesn't look too good, he'll just get rid of it. So the Mefarshim say these two examples is the Machlokes Ramban. When you have a barrel, so you just bang it again and again, the strong ones, to make it remain very, very strong. That's like the Rambam. The Rambam says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a test, he just wants other people to be able to learn from you and see from you. Whereas the flax, the more you hit it, the better it gets. That's the Ramban. That the more you hit the flax, the better it gets. It gets much, much better. That's what the Ramban says. The test is for you, for the individual person. I according to Ramban, I don't care that no one sees. If you take an article chumash, like Kat told me yesterday, and you look at an article chumash, it'll give you a list of the 10 nisyonis that Avraham Avinu had. So there's a machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam as to what the challenges were. So he pointed out to me that the challenges, according to the Ramban, what most of the challenges were challenges that no one else saw. They were in private. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, lech lecho. Just go. It was a nevua, no one knew about it. What's pshat? Because according to Ramban, the challenge is for the person themselves. They don't need anyone else to know about it. It was a private individual challenge. I want you to grow. I want to bring out your ability to reality. Whereas according to the Rambam, his list of challenges are all challenges that were done in the open. That people could see them. Because the purpose of a challenge, according to the Rambam, is that other people should see from it and learn from it. Okay, that's Machlokes Ramban. Rambam's not really our parsha. There's a Ramchal. The Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim writes down that a person has to know, contrary to the non-Jewish population, that they say the reason why we're created in this world is to have a party, is to fulfill our desires and do what we want. Klal Yisrael have an exact opposite approach. The Ramchal writes that a person is here in this world for three things. Lekayim mitzvahs, v'la'avoid, v'la'amoid b'nisayim. To overcome challenges. And the Ramchal continues in that way, and he writes again and again that the world is full of challenges. Wherever you look, left, right and center, daily, on a daily basis, we're being confronted with difficulties, with challenges. And says the Ramchal, that is what the world's all about. The world is here, says the Ramchal, we're going to be confronted. The more challenges, the better, says the Ramchal, because that's what we're here for, to grow and to overcome. That's what the world's all about. Says the Sfasemis like this. Coming back to the first question. What was Yosef trying to achieve when he said the second time round, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, Asher Mechara to Mitzrayim, I'm the one you sold to Mitzrayim. Why are you repeating it? Why are you trying to rub it in? He says, beautiful. He says that when Yehuda saw Yosef, and when Yosef revealed himself for the first time, the Pasuk says, Nifhalu miponov. The brothers were nifhal, they were astounded, they were shocked. Like, oh my goodness, this is Yosef. So Sfasemis explains, when it says Nivalu mi ponov, ponov means a pnimius. They were astounded at his level of Kedusha. How on earth did you manage to be away from our father's house? In a mokum, not only away from our father, in the worst possible place. A mokum tumma, a mokum of arroyos, the worst place. And you managed to keep such Kedusha. You managed to remain on such a high level. Says the Torah, Nivalu mi ponov. They were shocked and at the same time sad. Like, oh my goodness, if we would have left you by our father, imagine how much greater you would have been. Because if you became so great when you were in such a mokum tumma, Allah has kama v'kama, had you been by our father throughout the time, you'd have been even greater. And they were upset. They felt guilty. And Yosef said, no, gushuno elai, come here, I want to tell you something. Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. You want to know how I became Yosef? How I managed to overcome the... How I became such a tzaddik? Because Asher Machartim Yosef Mitzrayim. I only became who I became because I went down to Mitzrayim. Had I been by our father, I never would have reached this level. I only became Yosef at tzaddik because I went through Mitzrayim. Because I went through the challenges and the difficulties and the ordeals. And I overcame them. That's how I became who I became. Yosef wasn't trying to rub it in. On the contrary, Yosef was saying, I only became Yosef Asher Macharatem because you sold me. That's pshat, says the Sfasemes, as to what Yosef was trying to tell them. Okay, question number two. We said Rivka Imenu, she goes for Nevuah, and she says, why are you doing this? She doesn't know what's going on. And we asked, what's Rivka Imenu's problem? She's got twins. Her brother Lavan was a twin. Yitzchak's brother Yishmael was a twin. There's twins in the family. What's the big thing? So he says like this, around the bells. He says like this. He says, Rivka Imenu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I couldn't have children. I was barren. Which means, Al Pi Teva, it was impossible for me to have a child. But I davened to you. And with my power of tefillah, my tefillah was accepted. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I never davened for a rasha. My tefillah was to have a child who's going to be a tzaddik. If my pregnancy is coming about me, koyach my tefillah, then it can't be that there's a Rosha inside of me. It doesn't make sense. Because I didn't daven for a Rosha. I specifically and only daven for a tzaddik. I daven for someone who's going to light up the world. So how is it possible that there's a child inside me who's a Rosha? Of course Rivka understood that there were twins inside her. And she understood that one was good and one was bad. She had a much deeper problem. This heroin didn't come about me koyach teva. It would have come about as a normal pregnancy, I understand. I'm a twin, my husband's a twin, so we've got twins, one's good, one's bad. But this pregnancy came, Mikoyach Hetzfilah. Mikoyach Hetzfilah, to have such a child, it doesn't make sense. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer her back through the Nevuah? He said like this. He said, Rivka, you asked for a Yaakov. You asked for a Tzaddik Yisrael Olam. You want to have a Yaakov Avinu. If you want to have a Yaakov, then you need an Esav. Because for Yaakov to be a Yaakov, then he needs a Rosh like Esav behind him. In order for Yaakov to grow and to steiger, to become who he's going to become the father of Klal Yisrael, then he needs a Rosh like Esav constantly, making him crazy, running after him. That Yaakovinu has to run away to the yeshiva, to the Beis HaMedrash, constantly on the run. Never, he hasn't got time to hang around in the fields, because there's a Rosh after him. If you want to have a Yaakov Avinu in your family, then you need the Esav to make him who he is. That was the answer. Yes, you told me you didn't daven for a Rosh, you did. Because you davened for Yaakov. If you want to have a Yaakov, then I have to give you Esav. Because the only way for Yaakov to become Yaakov is to have an Esav. Because the challenges, Rabbi Isai, is not only a challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to grow. I want you to steig, and therefore you need this challenge in order to be able to accomplish. The challenge is what gives us the power and the potential to do what we're doing. They bring down, actually, Rabbi Yankelinsky said over, there was a yid called Rabbi Yoel Kloft from the town of Minsk. And Rabbi Yoel Kloft told him that he was in the time of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, and he said to him that there was a yid called Rabbi Boruch Zeldovitz. This Rabbi Boruch Zeldovitz was a very, very wealthy person who gave crazy, tremendous amounts of money to stocker. He gave amounts of money to stocker, that every type of stocker, Yisoymim and Almonus, and then that, everything you can think of, and Torah, Alachas Kama Kama. He gave literally everything. It was many years like that. But, sorry, I started wrong. Start again. When the Beis HaLevi became Rov of Brisk, so he had to attend a Levaya. So he's by the Levaya, someone from the town. And when he's in the Beis HaKvaros, he noticed the Matseva. On the Matseva, it said, Kapo Porso Le'oni V'yodeho Shulcho Le'evyon. Which is a pasuk from Eishes Chayil that we all know. Her hand, she stretched out to the poor person. Her palm, v'yodeh, and her hand, shulcha, she gave to the poor. And the Beis looked at it, and it was a man who was buried there. And Beis HaLevi was very perturbed. He said, I don't understand. This pasuk is normally a pasuk used when you're about a woman. You don't write it about a man. So the Beis HaLevi, when he came back to the Eir Minsk, when he came back, he went to check the Kehillah's ledgers, and he found there in Trisanta Maisa. He found there that it said there that this person, Rabbi Boruch Zeldovitz, he was in time of Beis HaLevi, he was very wealthy, he had a lot of stocker, and he started going down, started losing a lot of his money. Got to a point where he had nothing left. but he constantly gave out. As long as he had, he just gave. And it got to a point where he had nothing. And he got a knock on the door. There was two people there, two under him, and they were desperate. They had nothing. And he said, come in, I've got nothing. Come around my house. I've got nothing to give you. And they were looking, and he was looking. And then they found a silver spoon in his house. One silver spoon. He took the spoon, and he broke it in half. The handle he gave to one oni, and the kapit, the other part, he gave to the other oni. And now he was literally penniless. And the dayonim in town, this is what they wrote in the ledgers, sat down to work out how on earth could it be that such a big bal stocker lost all his money. It doesn't make sense. The Torah tells us clearly, the Gemara relates over and over again, that when you give money, when you give stock, you're never going to lose out from it. So how is it possible that someone who has such a big bal stocker lost all his money? And the dayonim ho'eh sat down to look at it and to discuss it, and they concluded that he was over on one issa. Chazal tell us a person shouldn't give away more than a fifth of their money. And he gave away more than a fifth of his money. So therefore, because he gave away more than a fifth, he had to get punished and he lost his money. That was what they concluded. And they wrote on his matseva, kapo parasalaoni. Kapo is from the word kapit, the actual part of the spoon. This last bit of money he gave to one person. The yodeho and its handle, shulchalevin, he gave to the other oni. That's what they wrote on his matseva. Oh. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik told that someone came to Reb Chaim, he was crying, he had lost all his money. And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik told him over this story. And then he said to him, I disagree with the psak. So the person said, what do you mean disagree? He said, Adan said, the dayonim had a problem like you. How come I've lost all my money? And therefore they had to come to a conclusion, the reason why you lost it is because you probably did something wrong, you gave too much money. But I don't think that's pshat. I'll tell you what happened. You had a lot of money. Money is a challenge. So as Hisham says, there's Oshir or Ashiris on one side and Anias on the other side. And you overcame the challenge. You passed it successfully with flying colours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're ready to move on in life. You've grown, I'm ready to give you the next challenge. Now we're going to put you on the other side completely. Now you're going to experience Anias. Let's see how you take that. And Reb Chaim was saying, this Yesod, challenges aren't there to hurt a person. Challenges are there to enable a person to grow, to accomplish. And HaKadosh Baruch was saying, you've accomplished, you've done brilliantly, let's move on now, let's give you the next insight. Coming back to the third question. The third question was, Yosef runs to his mother at Kever Rachel, and he says, Mama Rachel, please save me, it's terrible. And Rachel says, move on. What's pshat? To say if Ayosha's before the pshat is very simple. Rachel Imenu said, Yosef, if you want, I can save you. I'll come to Hashem, I'll get you out of this. But if you want to become Yosef HaTzadik, if you want to become the Yosef who's known as a Tzadik Yesoid Oilam, the Tzadik who overcame the worst challenges ever, if you want to become known that, you have to go to Mitzrayim. It's not worth it for me to take you out. For you yourself, to become who you're meant to be, you need to go through this challenge. Because only by going through this challenge, you're going to become the Yosef HaTzadik that we all know. That was the Yesod that she was trying to tell him. That was what she was trying to explain. Challenges is something we have to overcome. It's there to help us grow. My Zeder Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, he had, I think, 11 children. And 7 children in his lifetime he lost. It was difficult, it was hard, I can't imagine such a thing. But nevertheless, when he was stopped after one Levaya, and someone came up to him and started laughing and said, it's a punishment. It's a punishment because you're fighting us. And he was fighting non-religious, he fought very hard against it. And they said, you deserve what's happening to you. And he was on his way back from a Levaya. He turned around and he said, maybe yes, maybe it is a punishment, but I'll tell you what the punishment is. Because I haven't been working hard enough against you. From now I'm going to try even harder to work against you. What was he trying to say? He looked at life as challenges. I was given a challenge, I have to overcome it. Not to fall down from it, to use it, to strike more. If this doesn't work, I'll try even harder. Life is challenges and the way to grow is through overcoming these challenges. I know it's Friday, normally I'll say a small dvatayah, so may Indian le Indian, but I say Indian. When Yaakov Avinu comes to Mitzrayim, finally after he's met his brother Yosef, after to see his son Yosef, so Yosef takes in his father to meet the king, to meet Pari. He comes inside, Pari looks at him and says, who are you, how old are you? And Yaakov Avinu said something very interesting, and he said, I'm an old man, I've gone through very big difficulties in life, and it hasn't been easy. And the Torah tells us that because Yaakov Avinu said those words, because obviously on his level, he shouldn't have said such words, he was punished. How was he punished? For every word that he said, which sounded like a complaint, a year was taken off his life. And therefore the Torah tells us that Yaakov lived 147 years, And he didn't reach 180 years like his father, because there were 33 words that he used that were complaining. And 33 words were taken off. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz asked, I don't understand. Take a chumash, open it up, and count the words. There isn't 33 words. There's only around 20 words. Why 33? So Chaim said, if you count the words beforehand, where it says that Paro said to him, how old are you? Then there's 33 words. So Chaim said, well, that wasn't Yaakov Avinu. I understand you're punishing him for complaining that he's had a hard time and he's old. Punish him for that. But why punish him for Paro's question? Or how does that come in? Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, because on Yaakov Avinu's level, even the fact that somebody could look at him and say, you look bitter, you look old, you look like you've gone through difficulties, that itself was a claim against Yaakov Avinu. Your face shouldn't be showing such difficulties. It shouldn't be like that. I expected more from you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even the words that Paro asked, which came about because Yaakov Avinu looked like he did, even that was taken off his life. Like Yaakov Netzky always says, that our face is a Rishus HaRabim. It's not ours. Our face has to express joy, because it's not for us alone. We have our difficulties that will remain within us. But our face is a Rishus HaRabim, that's when we're on the outside. Obviously, we're not come to claim Yaakov Avinu as someone but the Shubachishma of us. But nevertheless, we have to remember, Yaakov Avinu was claimed because he called someone else to ask him. So that's the Yesod that we said today. That a Nisoyon is all about overcoming challenges. And not only that, if we want to become who we are, if we want to accomplish and manage to get to a point, then we need the Nisoyon. Yosef needed the Nisoyon to make him Yosef HaTzadik. And that's what Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. You know how I became Yosef? Asher Macharatam Yosef. Only because you saw me. Because you saw me, because I went through this, all this, that's how I became who I am. Sheikh. Oh, yeah.